precious Mother.
Brothers and sisters, will you join me in our call to worship that can be found in your bulletins? We hear these words from Isaiah 55. Hey there, all who are thirsty, come to the water. Come, buy your drinks. Buy wine and milk.
Buy without money, everything's free.
Why do you spend your money on junk food, your hard-earned cash on cotton candy?
Listen to me, eat only the best, fill yourself with only the finest.
As we hear these instructions from Isaiah 55, let us stand and sing together.
Thank you. on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpeting cloud, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of lion's hill, salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as right as the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpeting calls, and lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah. 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 There's no God like Jehovah.
Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpeting call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation. Of Zion till salvation comes, until salvation comes, until salvation comes.
Brothers and sisters, we give thanks to God for these days in which we have much to be thankful for. We have much to thank God for the gift of our worship teens leading us in worship here today, for the knowledge that God's grace is intended for us. God says to each one of us, individually and for us as a community, my grace and my peace be with you. Know this love and grace this morning, and please take a moment to share it with each other. Brothers and sisters, as we come into this place and we are reminded of the God who loves us, on this one day of the week that we have the blessing to be all together, sometimes we're reminded that we forget about God's presence with us throughout the week. So let's take a moment to reflect on that and to think of the goodness of God. Will you pray with me, please? Oh God, throughout all of our busyness during the week, through all the good things that you have blessed us with in our lives, oftentimes we find ourselves trying to go it alone or forgetting to call on you and to seek you with these lives that you have given us. Help us to be reminded again today of your love for us and your desire to walk with us every day. We thank you for that promise, O God, and we pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. I want to invite forward now our children for the children's message. And Todd, are you giving the children's message? Okay.
Down here. I have a friend who, I'll just talk about, who is a veteran. You guys had 2 days off from school this week, Thursday and Friday, and yep. Friday was a holiday, and Friday's holiday was called
Veterans Day.
Veterans. Oh, there we go. I'm on now. Veterans. Or maybe.
Veteran.
What is a veteran?
In these days, that's a fair assessment. Yes, as someone who served in the military or in time of war. So yes, that is right.
And Mr. Kasucci, who in the military is Major, they call you Major Such, right?
Yes.
They don't say
See, I can't pronounce my last name for some reason.
Major Such. Major Such, what did you do in Iraq?
I was in charge of aviation planning, all the helicopters that carry all the troops all around Iraq. I was a job to make sure that they had all their routes planned and everybody was scheduled safely. And more importantly, I got the honor to plan the troops for coming out of Iraq, which is ongoing right now, and that's what I did.
And why do we have troops or soldiers in Iraq? What are they doing? What are they trying to help? How are they trying to help? Protecting us? And what were you going to say?
I was going
to
say, soldiers there to defend our land.
Soldiers there to defend our land. Do you want to say anything else, Mr. Kasucci? Deacon Kasucci, as we know you?
Those are all great answers, and that's all true. In Iraq, we're training them so they can take care of their country again, and they're able to do that.
And let's look at Major Kasucci's uniform. What do these three things mean, sir?
Oh, those are some ribbons. Got a couple extra for being over there. This is a Reserve Achievement Medal, 4 years. And then this is a Iraqi Campaign Medal, is the latest one. This one here is the Armed Forces Reserve Medal for Service, and it's been in the Army for 24 years, so you get this one every 10 years. And the M means I was mobilized, and the 2 means I was mobilized a second time, luck of the draw. And this one is overseas training ribbons, these two together, because we provided training. So those are that.
So you were in Iraq, and how long were you away from your wife and your children?
7.5 months.
8 months, is that what I heard?
7.5.
And if you include the time before, how long all together? All the times you went back to Iraq and worked in Iraq, altogether, how long were you away from your family?
Oh, about 7.5 months.
No, I mean altogether the times before.
Oh, well, 1 year I was down at Fort Dix. I got to come home on weekends. The second year I was in Atlanta. So I got to come home about every 6 weeks and holidays. So, but
wouldn't you miss your mom or dad if they were gone for a long time in Iraq or Afghanistan or some other place, huh?
Yeah.
So isn't it great that he's back? This is the first Sunday he's back, and that we get to have him here.
For good.
We're so thankful for what he did. And last question for you, sir.
Go ahead.
What can we do? How can everybody, how can we support our troops who are still over there? What's the best thing we can do?
just send out your prayers. That's very important. And just thank them. Thank a veteran when you see them. You know, they just follow orders. Whether you agree or disagree with the politicians and the leaders, just remember that the soldiers are out there executing their orders. So just thank a veteran when you see him and send your prayers out to him.
So we can do both of those.
And care packages.
Oh, care packages.
And letters every month and all kinds of great things that came from North Branch, which I'm very grateful for.
I want you guys to stand up and look. I want everybody here who served in the military to stand, including Major Kasuchi here. Everybody stand. Look at all the people who are standing. And I want you to say with me on a count of three, and the congregation can join us too. I'll say one, two, three, and we're all going to say, thank you. All right? One, two, three.
Thank you.
And while they stand, let's pray together, okay?
That's it. We can do that too.
While they stand, I'm going to stand too, and now I really hear my microphone. We got it going. Let's pray, okay? Dear God, we thank you for all of these folks who have served our country and kept us free so that we can say the name Jesus here and not be put in jail, so we can say something, disagree with somebody and not be thrown into jail. We thank you for those things, and we ask that that freedom might spread throughout the world, and we pray that you'll keep our soldiers and our troops safe, and we're so thankful that you brought Major Such back to us, who we know as Deacon Craig Kasuchi, to be back with us at home, in his home, and in his church. So bless all of those soldiers, and all together, let's say, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may go to church school. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I'll take it.
seated.
We recognized the bulb and that projector just went out. It was looking dim to begin with. So if you folks need to move over here in the next song or over there in the aisle, we recognize that you can't see very well where you're at. So we'll let you be flexible in that. I'm sure we'll get a new bulb soon. Page 4 of your announcements, if you'll turn with me. Let me highlight a few things at the bottom. The Peter Mayer concert tickets are going on sale from today. Peter Mayer, this is the holiday concert that we put on for the community, and all proceeds go to benefit charity. Some of you have been there. This is our fourth year of doing it. It's a great event. Plan on it. Buy your tickets today in the fellowship hall. And if you turn with me to page 6, let me point out to you under Women's Ministries 2 announcements there. First of all, you can get ready for the Women's Ministry Christmas breakfast. And then also the monthly meeting will be held this week. And then, let me see, what did I miss? Oh, and above that, I missed under Men's Ministries that the monthly men's breakfast is this coming Saturday. So please join us in the fellowship hall for that. Many other things that are happening in the church that you can read about later or take your bulletin home. But right now, let's focus on the reading and the proclaiming of God's word. Pray with me. Jesus, we thank you that even though bulbs may go out in our projector, that your light never goes out. Even though the world may get dark and war may erupt, your light always shines. And so, Jesus, it's to the light that we come, like moths to light, asking that you would enlighten us now as we begin this series on communion. Enlighten us in what it means that we're about to participate again at the end of this service. For the glory and the honor of your name, we pray. And all God's people said,
good morning. This morning's reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. The next reading is from Corinthians chapter 11, verses 20 through 26. When you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you, hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What? You don't have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." In the same way, he took the cup for wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." This is the word of the Lord.
So, you've heard the research that says that a healthy family eats together at least how many times a week? Four, right? Four. And that because eating together is a time when families can talk, when they can argue, when they can problem solve, when they can pray before the meal, when they can read the Bible and have a physical, spiritual meal afterwards. The research tells us that the children of families who eat together at least four times a week, right, they get more A's in school, they say no more often to sex and drugs, and they just simply smile more often. What about the church family? I mean, if we're honest, we don't eat many meals, communion, together, either because we Protestants don't eat the meal very often, we're spiritually anorexic, or the Catholics who don't welcome guests to their table. Think about the week of Christian Unity when Father Joe and I switched pulpits, right? He's now Monsignor Joe, by the way. And when I go, I love preaching in the pulpit of St. Bernard's Church, but after I'm done, I'm required to go and sit down in the front row, and when all of my brothers and sisters stream forward to receive the body and blood of our Lord, I have to remain seated. I feel sad, and I feel angry. But what does Father Joe, or now Monsignor Joe, feel when he comes to our pulpit, preaches, and then there's no meal? It must feel like not real worship or unfulfilling or inhospitable that we would bring someone into our house and not feed them the Lord's Supper. He would never have a worship service, a full worship service, without the Lord's Supper, daily, weekly. And then I think about we Protestants, not just Protestants and Catholics. I've told you before, if you've been here for a while, I had two aunts who couldn't live without each other and couldn't live with each other, and they lived in the same house for 75 years. And in the refrigerator, there was Aunt Jewel's row and Aunt Tress's row, and never should the twain meet. On the stove, there was Aunt Tress's side and Aunt Jewel's side. They spent most of their days not talking, and yet they went to the same church that they grew up in, and they would pass the body and the blood of the Lord to each other. So that's why some of you say, why should I believe in Jesus? You know, I mean, this table that he designed to bring us together actually highlights our divisions. What good does belief in Jesus do if you Christians can't even get along together? So the question this morning is, how does Jesus' family meal, how is it designed to bring us together? Well, first, back to the biblical origins. When Jesus was celebrating the Last Supper, he was really fulfilling the Jewish Passover. So his blood was the blood of the Lamb, and he was saying, in effect, that as the Passover celebrated freedom from slavery in Egypt, so also the meal today celebrates freedom from slavery to sin or addiction or compulsion or obsession or whatever you want to call it. And so when we eat this meal, we are united with God's people from all time and in all places. That's the first thing. Then our first reading today talks about the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and was poured out upon the church, and 3,000 came to believe. And the story says that they began to meet daily in the temple, and they met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, what was the result? Each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So, Jesus' family meal welcomes guests. Then, the last passage that we read, now the church is a little older, more mature, it's spread from Jerusalem into the Gentile world all the way to Corinth, and now the worship of the church probably happens Sunday night around 8 p.m. when the Gentile slaves finally get off of work. You think the 10:45 service is late. Try worshiping at 8 p.m. And the rich, who didn't have to work that day, they're feasting and they're getting drunk on communion wine, and it comes time for the Gentile slaves to come in tired and weary and dirty after work, and there's only a drop left and a morsel left for them. And already, the table that Jesus intended to bring us all around together is highlighting the divisions in the body of Christ. And so Paul chastises them. What? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? He writes. It's not the Lord's Supper you're eating, he writes.
How does Jesus intend his family meal to bring us all together? Well, if you're a father or mother here, you can understand God's parental heart. The joy that comes over God when his children are able to eat together. How happy God would be if Father Joe and I, were able to eat at the same table. How happy God would be if Jewel and Tressa could not only eat at the same table, but eat in friendship and love. And if you and that person you're disenfranchised from could come to the table, how happy that makes God's heart. And conversely, how sad it makes God's heart, as it does you, if you're a parent, when your children just can't get along and won't talk. When we Protestants don't eat very often and therefore don't commune in a deep way with Jesus, and when the Catholics don't invite guests, and when we can maybe come to the table together, but not even speak to that person with whom we're angry. Breaks God's heart. So, what would Jesus have happened at this family meal? Well, in one summary sentence, I'll say that the Bible teaches that Jesus offers weekly communion. That's where Protestants are headed and need to get to. Weekly communion to grow us closer to God, to draw us closer to God, let me do my hands right, and closer to his family in order to be his body in the world. So this is what's going to happen. The elders and worship committee has been studying this for 6 months, and we're going to add from January, for a six-month trial period, a second monthly communion. The first Sunday and third Sunday of the month. And the first Sunday of the month, we're actually going to celebrate with children so that the sacrament will be before the sermon so that they can go out after the sacrament is done. And we're going to do this, but adding one more communion a month on a trial basis really isn't going to make Jesus smile anymore if we don't enter into the meaning of it. And what is the meaning of it? When we come before the table, we can ask ourselves, Jesus, how's my communication been with you this week? Or Jesus, is there somebody that I used to be friends or family with and I'm no longer talking with them anymore? What about that communion, Jesus? And if to the degree you and I enter into that, this meal, Jesus' family meal, will transform us. And suddenly, we'll start getting A's, however God grades. And we'll start saying no to those things that are more harmful to us. And suddenly, we'll start wearing more smiles because we'll have that deeper communion with God and with each other. And we'll be able to carry that into the world. So today, all baptized Christians who've confessed their faith in Jesus Christ, be you Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, you're invited to the Lord's table. And you'll come, I hope. And notice the people who come. Some who come will have a cane and walk slowly. Others will skip to the table. Some will have gray hair, others will have no hair, others will have hair that they've colored or whatever. Some will, because of a busy, difficult week, maybe even wear a frown. Some will wear a smile. But we'll all come to Jesus at his table, for this is where we are one. Interesting thing, Jewel and Tressa have believed in Jesus, and I trust and hope that Jesus forgave their sins because they said they believed, and they're having communion this morning together in heaven, and they're probably really talking now. An interesting thing that just this fall, the Catholic bishops have recognized Reformed baptism, so we're one step closer. Maybe by the time Monsignor Joe and I die, we can have communion together at this table. And when we do that in the spirit of Christian love, with those that we disagree with, that we're having problems with, but somehow are able to put that away because Jesus forgives, then that makes the heart of God smile. Let us pray. So Jesus, we come to your table. How has our communication been with you, Jesus, this week? Who is it that you would strengthen us in this table to go and talk with or make right with this week? Family member, friend, person of a different race, different creed, different orientation. And so here we are, Jesus. We want this to be true so that you can transform us and transform our world so that we will study war no more, so that we can burn our swords into plowshares, and this world can finally experience the peace for which you are called the Prince of Peace. It's in your name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. As those who are going to be fed at Jesus' table, we also recognize that we feed and help the world, and one of the missions that I already highlighted is the Peter Mayer concert, Stars and Promise concert. If you can go to it Friday, December 9th, that will be great. You'll have a great holiday experience. You can bring friends. It's just Christian enough to be witnessed, just secular enough to be welcoming of everybody. You'll find, and the proceeds, as I said already, go to all sorts of charities. So that's a mission that you can support. And give yourselves to God, as Jesus has given himself to you in your tithes and offerings at this time. And please pass the red pew pets.
This might hurt, it's not safe, but I know that I gotta make a change. I don't care if I break, at least I'll be feeling something. Cause just okay is not enough, gotta fight through the nothingness of life.
I don't wanna go through the motions, I don't wanna go one more day. Without your all-consuming passion inside of me, I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead of going through the motions?
It's not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of.
passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything? Instead of going through the motions, take me all the way.
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 Jesus, we give you thanks that we don't have to just go through the motions, but that this meal that we're about to celebrate can be real communion with you and with each other as you strengthen us to reconcile this world to yourself. We give this to you for the honor and glory of your name and all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Brothers and sisters, as we preach this week and next week on this meaning of communion, and as Todd has shared, as we look ahead towards the upcoming year, where we celebrate communion more frequently, and think about, as we have in our liturgy, every time that we celebrate this meal, that we consider the meaning of communion, that we hear these words, that it is a feast of remembrance, of communion, and of hope. Being remembered and reconnected with all the saints from the past and into the future, with all those and all other places. In communion, knowing that Jesus Christ himself reconciles us to one another. And in hope for when sisters will celebrate in heaven with Jesus, that those moments and those times when maybe we didn't talk to each other, or when it was tough, that Jesus will make us whole once again and bring his perfect peace.
Please join me in prayer, starting with the ancient words from the communion service. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks, O God, for your many, many blessings of this world, of redeeming this world through Jesus, of bringing us around that heavenly table when, yes, even Jewel and Tress will be able to talk to each other through your grace and love. We're thankful for the nourishment of the Experience God study here at North Branch. We're thankful for grandparents being here, and I believe it says Andrew being here. We're thankful that Craig had a safe return. We're thankful that Ted Ritter can be out of the hospital and be under a doctor's care. We're thankful for all veterans and to see Craig back to church. We're thankful for the Casucci family being back and also grandparents being here. We're thankful for an awesome family support while on deployment. I think that's from Craig. Oh God, and we lift other thanksgivings to you. Hear us, Jesus, as we thank you for the music today, our friends and family, successful eye operation for Dick, and 57 years of marriage to Audrey. And I think he said marital bliss, I think he said.
For my older nephew finding a great
for an older nephew who found a great new job.
The success of Somerville High School's band and color guard at Nationals this weekend.
Ah, that's wonderful too. Yeah, we can thank God that way. And then Jesus, before your broken body, we bring our brokenness to be made whole. We pray for Ann and Ned as Ned battles cancer. Keep them strong for each other and their 10-year-old daughter. For Sue battling cancer, we ask God for a cure for all cancers, for all those struggling with cancer, for Joan Biondi and family, for Christina Letteris, who was attacked by a shark on Thursday. Her right arm was reattached, but her right hand, I can't quite read that, will be reattached tomorrow morning. We pray for her. For the family of Marianne Horvath, Hoflick, for her passing on Friday, for the victims at Penn State and for healing there, for travel blessings to all attending my nephew's wedding in New Hampshire and blessings to Christian and Jackie, for safe travel home for my mom from Georgia on Wednesday, for safe travel for the main part of my unit who is on their way home. And Jesus, we bring other concerns before you. Hear us as we ask you for. I guess that said it all. So we combine this prayer with the prayer that Protestant, Catholic, Orthodox say together, because it's your prayer first, and we're united in you. And so with you we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
As we heard the words from the book of Corinthians, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. And giving thanks to God, he said, Friends, brothers, and sisters, this is my body, which is given for you.
And after they had supped, he took the cup and said, This is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink of it, remember me.
The bread which we break is the communion with the body of Christ.
And the cup which we bless is our communion with the blood of Christ. Come, for all things are now ready. Again, we invite all who have been baptized and are believers and have confessed their faith in Jesus Christ to come to this, the Lord's table. We'll invite those in the balcony first, and we're thankful the choir will bless us with music as we sing, and we'll serve you last. Or should we serve them first? We're going to serve you first. Okay, we're going to serve the choir first. So if the elders would come.
Thank you.
spirit of remembering, I did this at the last service last Sunday. This dear old lady, the old lady, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Why don't you hit me?
This dear young lady.
Golly. Are you and I still friends?
Yes.
Do we need to do communion again just to be reconciled?
No, you told the truth.
Oh, okay.
This is Linda's mother in terms of remembering. So we're grateful that you're here from Alabama. You do this, we know, in your church in Alabama, and you'll be going back in a few months. But we're grateful to have you here.
I'm grateful to be here.
And I won't call it, I won't make any more comments about age the rest of the day. I promise. On that note, let's stand and give thanksgiving back to God. Boy, good thing you're gracious, Olivia. And share with me in those ancient words of over three millennia old from the Hebrew Psalter. Brothers and sisters, since the Lord has now fed us at his table, let us praise God's holy name with heartfelt thanksgiving. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Person to your side or not, would you offer them your hand as a sign of the communion that we have? I like you.
That's great.
If Olivia can forgive me what I said to her, anyone can forgive anything today. We are joined as Christ's body, and know that whoever you are and wherever you go in God's wide world, remember this, that Jesus goes with you before you to prepare your path, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you in troubled times to carry you, and most importantly within you, to give you his abiding and abundant peace now and forevermore. And all God's people said,
Amen.
All right.
Mm-hmm.